You're listening to Vatican Radio. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Time to go on a Roman tour with our Professor of Fine Arts, Brita Ennis. As you probably know, here in Rome, most churches have a Christmas crib installed in time for Christmas. But there's one church where this doesn't happen. It just stays there all year. So stay tuned as Brita and myself step into the church of Santa Maria in Via and take a left turn.
The Nativity began in the 13th century.
Because St. Francis of Assisi was the first person to celebrate midnight mass on Christmas night with a crib, with live oxen and donkeys, live animals.
This one isn't alive. It's not dead either, is it? There's a lot going on here. I think for our listeners who are not familiar with cribs, we ought to say that, generally speaking, there are three elements in a crib, aren't there? There's the Nativity, obviously. Then there's the Annunciation with the angels. And finally, there's always a tavern scene. Am I right, Brita?
Yes, this is obviously what came afterwards, because the original scene itself is just the central scene, the Nativity. Mary, the child Jesus, and St. Joseph, and shepherds, and the two animals, the ox and the ass.
You know what's missing, Brita? The shepherds.
The shepherds are generally there for Christmas, and the 6th of January they're replaced by the Magi.
I don't know where they'll find a place to put them. I'm quite wrong. I spy a shepherd, actually, who's fast asleep. There's always a shepherd that's asleep in these cribs.
Here, in fact, we have a little bit of everything from the time of St. Francis, and this is shown in one of Giotto's frescoes in the higher church at Assisi, with the crib St. Francis himself had in the past.
So what about this crib, Brita? Yeah. Let's describe it a little bit. The central element is the Nativity scene. There are a lot of angels above this temple, actually. Very often they use temples, don't they?
To give a sense of drama to the background and make it very, very Italian in its own sense. And also, you think that Rome is the home of Christianity in the practical sense. I mean, apart from Jerusalem and everything in the past. But
it used to be pagan, therefore a lot of sacred Rome is built over pagan temples.
Pagan temples, but also they Christianized pagan things. So here you have a large Roman archway, like a triumphal arch in the middle, on top of which you can see the scene, which is full of gyrating angels. They all seem so light and happy. Well, they seem like they're just going to float out of the crib. And then below that, then you see Mary in pink robes, blue mantle, and the child Jesus with a very elaborate halo around his head. And
I thought that in Italian tradition they only put child Jesus into the crib after Christmas Eve.
Exactly, yes. But this is actually a permanent crib. In the 1700s it was done in Naples. This is a genuine Neapolitan crib, but it's so famous that they actually leave it up all the year. To take a child to see this here, it would bring him into the fantasy of the world of the birth in a manger in the Holy Land. Generally, children, looking at the details, they'll be able to get in little by little into the story and understand the simplicity, the sacred quality of the story itself. Here in the front, I see they have very elaborately garbed magi.
We're talking silk and damask, aren't we?
Yes,
and lace, and real lace.
Yes, and old lace, and old silk and damask.
Brita, correct me if I'm wrong, but collecting figurines was the pastime of wealthy Neapolitans, because these are not just ordinary figurines.
No,
so
they're
very special, aren't they?
Yeah.
Are they just wired inside? Because they seem to be gesticulating and almost movable.
Yes, but generally the inside is made of different types of materials, and the hands and the neck and face are made of porcelain and painted. Now, it was a tradition also in Naples for important artists to hand paint or prepare the faces for the different images. And it was considered an honour for an artist to do this, because in that way they participated in the miracle of the birth. Here what they try to do is to bring it as near as possible to a Roman daily reality, so that you see on the top here you see a house with the clothes hanging out over the balcony. And then
there's lots of food around here.
Tons. Well, that's Italian. What's nice here is this fountain, this tiny fountain, which looks like a cross between the Bocca della Verità and something else. But you can actually see little strings hanging down over the basin of the fountain. It makes it look like real water. They've tried in every way to make it look realistic.
Yeah, there's a fire there, fireplace
yes,
there.
Yeah.
There's someone stoking the fire.
Yes. Look like they're going to make pizzas or something like that. Like
in the tavern, of course, with all the hams hanging and the salamis hanging on the tavern door. No?
Yeah. Here you have a little bit of everyday life. You have daily life in terms of houses and work and housework and cooking and buying food. And over here, evening type of entertainment and whatever. Then architecturally you have all these Roman type ruins with the Corinthian columns, etc. And then way behind in the distance you have, against the blue horizon, a view of the Bay of Naples. So there's a combination here of Naples and Rome. Nothing takes away from the central scene. It pulls you in. The central scene, also look at the expression on the face of one of the men near Mary, a sense of ecstasy, total ecstasy and meditation, which contrasts, obviously, with the faces of the people beside.
That was Professor Breda Ennis, who's currently teaching fine arts at the American University of Rome. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.